From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg spent the last day of his Alaska trip in Southeast. As KTOO's Katie Anassis reports, he focused on the ferry system during a stop at the Juneau Airport.
On his last day in Alaska, Buttigieg and Senator Lisa Murkowski took the MV Hubbard from Juneau to Haines. But after they got off the state's newest ferry, it stopped running. One of its generators had been shutting down intermittently.
I didn't touch a thing, I swear.
Murkowski and Buttigieg spoke to reporters on the tarmac at Juneau's seaplane terminal.
In most of the ferry fleet, what we're worrying about is its age. But when a new vessel encounters issues, that's also a reminder that having a new vessel is not all there is to the story. We need to make sure that we're creating the framework where operations, maintenance, and capital planning can go well.
Buttigieg spent 3 days in Alaska. He traveled to Kotzebue, Anchorage, and Haines, learning about the state's transportation needs and highlighting projects made possible by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The bill allocated more than $285 million to Alaska's ferry system to replace the Tustamina, modernize four other ferries, upgrade rural ferry terminals, and support operations. Those projects require a funding match from the state of about $105 million. The state says that money will come from a few different sources.
States that put forward a healthy level of skin in the game on their side are often able to unlock that much more federal support on our side.
But Murkowski said staffing remains a challenge for the ferry system. Its reservation center reduced hours this month due to staff shortages, and they're only taking reservations on the Kennecott through February because of a crew shortage.
And you can't operate a ferry, whether it's in good running condition or whether it's a 54-year-old ship. You can't operate it without the men and women.
The ferry system could have even more sources of federal funding. The U.S. Department of Transportation announced Wednesday that 6,500 miles of navigable waterways in southwestern and northern Alaska would be added to the United States Marine Highway Program.
When you enter into the Marine Highway Program, you're part of a national designation that can mean greater access to grant funding and policy attention.
The designation doesn't add new ferry service, but it could open up funding for future transportation projects in those regions. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Two California men have come forward to say that a youth group leader abused them on trips to Juneau's Echo Ranch Bible Camp when they were children. The FBI suspects Bradley Rieger of abusing dozens, if not hundreds, of boys over a period of decades. And a warning, the story contains mention of sexual violence toward minors. In Juneau, survivors of sexual abuse can call AWARE at 907-586-1090 to find resources for support. FBI charging documents say Rieger took boys on camping trips in Alaska, and he has a long and well-documented association with the Juneau camp. The men's accounts are the first, though, to allege that abuse happened there.
I was definitely abused at Echo Ranch.
That's Zach Winfrey. He spent time at Echo Ranch from 2003 to 2006. His account is supported by another California man, Derek Fox, who was at Echo Ranch around the same time and also says Rieger abused him there. Winfrey and Fox are two of the witnesses cooperating with the FBI in its investigation into Rieger, who was arrested last month. Both men describe Rieger as a trusted, prominent church member, operating with no real oversight. They say he abused them for years, and that his trips to Echo Ranch gave him access to children with little or no supervision from other adults. Winfrey and Fox were both members of a church youth group in Susanville, California. They say Rieger took the group on a series of weeks-long trips to Alaska, and they'd spend part of each trip at Echo Ranch. At the camp, Winfrey says they would help build cabins and do maintenance. They also traveled around Southeast. Winfrey remembers kayaking trips and hiking the Chilkoot Trail. He says Rieger abused him several times on that first trip, in the campers' cabins and at a nurse's station. Fox also went to Echo Ranch for the first time in 2003. Like Winfrey, Fox says Rieger abused him repeatedly, and always under the guise of medical care.
The abuse was very short in duration for the most part. But almost constant, multiple times a trip.
Winfrey and Fox both say other adults would drift in and out of the trips, but often Rieger was the only adult around. In between the work at the camp and activities in the forest, Fox says there were always injuries and illnesses that Rieger could use as an excuse to be alone with a child. There seemed to be no rules at the camp preventing that.
And there was never anyone that would have ever said, hey, you can't take that kid over to the clinic. He did what he wanted. He went where he wanted. And people just kind of let him do it.
Avant Ministries, the camp's parent organization, told KTOO that Rieger never worked for the camp, that he just volunteered there sporadically. But the nature of Rieger's relationship with the camp isn't clear. A book written about the history of the camp in 2014 calls Rieger a camp supporter and shows that Rieger's relationship with the camp spanned decades. The book first mentions Rieger as a boys' counselor in the 1970s. In 1985, the camp history describes Rieger bringing a California youth group to the camp to help build a bathhouse, a septic tank, and a leach field. Both Winfrey and Fox say Rieger was traveling to Echo Ranch regularly in the early 2000s. Mio Ryan is a former Echo Ranch staff member who managed the camp's horse program. He told KTOO he wanted to share what he knew about Rieger because he believes Christian organizations have a history of denying past harm in Alaska. Ryan remembers Rieger's trips with the youth group, too. He also remembers Rieger acting as the camp's nurse for the better part of one summer, a memory that other sources shared. And Ryan described Rieger as a kind of benefactor who donated medical supplies and an ambulance to the camp.
Brad was a donor and was identified as a significant donor.
That's consistent with the camp history, which describes Rieger donating a truck and an ambulance to Echo Ranch. Echo Ranch's camp administrator told KTOO that it would not comment on whether or not Rieger made donations to the camp. Winfrey says he's been in touch with other people who say Rieger abused them, at least one person from every decade dating back to the 1970s. He says their stories are all eerily similar. Rieger befriending boys around the age of 10 or 11, traveling with them unsupervised, and finding ways to enmesh them in his life until they reached young adulthood.
It seems like we could put together a pattern of, like, Brad basically did the same stuff from the very beginning. He just got way more sophisticated about it.
Winfrey says that for him, the abuse continued for nearly a decade until he was 20. Fox says he was 17 when he had an exam from Rieger that pushed him to start questioning what was happening.
The first time I realized something was, like, incredibly, incredibly wrong.
Fox says he told his parents, but they continued to hope that what he described was legitimate medical care. There were reports of child abuse over the years. Rieger was investigated in California for child sex abuse at least four times, beginning in 1986. None of those investigations led to an arrest. After Rieger's arrest in June, Winfrey testified that Rieger should remain in custody until his trial. He said that he wanted to know for the first time that, quote, the man who ruined my life is finally in a place where he can't hurt anyone else. Echo Ranch Bible Camp did not answer KTOO's questions about what policies were in place in the early 2000s to protect children. But it did release a statement saying that it was taking the allegations of abuse at the camp seriously and that Avant Ministries had contacted law enforcement. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quemery. The FBI has an online form for anyone who wants to report that they or their minor dependent may have been victimized by Bradley Rieger. That's linked in this story on KTOO.org. In Juneau, survivors of sexual abuse can call AWARE at 907-586-1090 to find resources for support. A tour bus in Ketchikan rolled backward after losing power, going over a guardrail, and ended up in Ketchikan Creek. The incident happened on Wednesday morning at about 11. There were no passengers in the vehicle owned by Alaska Coach Tours, and the driver was uninjured. Deputy Police Chief Eric Mattson says the accident occurred as the vehicle was headed to Cape Fox Lodge.
Was driving up Venetia towards Cape Fox Lodge when it lost power. The vehicle went backwards down Venetia, crossed over Park Avenue, over the sidewalk railing, and crashed rear end first into the creek where it laid to rest.
Mattson says the next step is getting the bus out of the creek.
We contacted the U.S. Coast Guard Marine Safety Detachment about the vehicle in the creek, obviously worried about any type of fuel or other type of lubricants in the waters.
According to Lieutenant Alan Vorholt with the U.S. Coast Guard, crews did not see a visible sheen or find any evidence of oil or gas discharge. Ketchikan Creek is a anadromous fish stream, and salmon are currently headed upstream to spawn. It's 57 degrees and cloudy. This is KTOO.